Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians and chapter number 6. We are on the downhill slide. We only have 3 more messages, including this one, in the book of Ephesians. And hopefully it's been an encouraging book for you to study. That the idea of the book of Ephesians is to give glory unto God by the church. And one of the greatest ways to give glory to God, one of the greatest ways to have a testimony for the Lord, is to have unity in the church. And how do we have unity in the church? By keeping our eyes on the Lord. That if you have your eyes on the Lord and I have my eyes on the Lord, we're going to be moving forward together in unity. That is the key, that we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. And as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, the very first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians is the theology. It's talking about why we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, what God has done for us, that we have unity in the Spirit, one body, one baptism, and it goes on and talks about that we're supposed to have unity. And why? Because of the Lord. In the last 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians comes the practicality. Because we have our eyes on the Lord, what should be different about us? Because we have our eyes on the Lord, what should be different with how we treat people? And as we ended up on the book of Ephesians on Sunday night, we spoke about that one of the practicalities of having our eyes on the Lord, that we're going to have respect towards others in the dealing of with our biblical authority. That inside of the home, children obey your parents, and that they are to honor your parents in the Lord. Why? Because this is right. And that there's never a place where you as a child should stop honoring your parents. Even when you're 50 years old, you should still find a way to honor your parents. We understand that within the marriage, that there should be respect shown between husbands and wives. And that that is necessary for both of them to grow. But that's a practicality. Because we have our eyes on the Lord, it's going to show up in the way that we live. Once again, as we continue through the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we find one more way that if we have our eyes on the Lord, it's going to show up in practicality and normal everyday use, where the rubber hits the road, in how we work. If you don't mind, notice with me in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, and notice with me in verse number 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is the respect of persons with him. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark 2 words that we find in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6? The book of Ephesians chapter 6, and notice with me in verse 5, the 2 words I'd like you to mark is the word servants. And then in verse 5 again, the word masters. Servants and masters. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach the message of men and their masters. Men and their masters. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. A God who is so worthy of worship. You're worthy of our obedience. You're worthy of our life to live. You're worthy of us keeping our eyes on you. And Lord, we know that it's so easy to get in the flesh. It's so easy to get our eyes off of you. It's so easy to get our eyes on some flaw, some personality conflict, some this, some that, and get our eyes off of you. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, as we go through this, that we would all be determined that we would keep our eyes on you and that it would show up. It'd be evident that our eyes are on you by how we live our life and how we interact with people, especially at the workplace. Lord, because this is such a near and dear subject to my heart, I am tempted in my own flesh to go ahead and preach my thoughts and my opinions, and I'm asking that you would guard me from that. I die to self, and I'm just turn this over, and I'm asking that you would preach what you desire to be explained, that you would open it up in a way that it would help these good folks. Lord, that you get it done tonight, and I'm just your vessel. And I just surrendering myself to you, begging that you would guard my mouth, guard my tongue, guard my thoughts, guard my ambitions, guard my goal. They're all yours so that you can get all glory from this message tonight. Be a help to folks in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been trying to put an emphasis in the book of Ephesians that God desires to bring glory unto him by the church. And that the greatest way to have glory to God by the church is unity. And we also explain how we get that unity is by keeping our eyes on the Lord. You understand that one of the greatest proofs that your eyes are on the Lord, or one of the greatest proofs that your eyes are not on the Lord, is when you go to work. You understand you got to deal with those people every day. You got to deal with the boss. You got to deal with coworkers. You got to deal with rules. You got to deal with stupid people. You got to deal with all of that. And you understand, we as Christians are expected that if our eyes are on the Lord, that we will behave differently inside of the workplace. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you get to find out, are your eyes on the Lord? Or are your eyes on something else? So if you don't mind, let's go through here being very practical. And the first thing I'd like to bring up is men and their masters. Men and their masters. Notice with me in verse number 5. It says, servants. By the way, that's us. You could put in your mind in today's vernacular, employees. Employees. So that's speaking to you. If you have an employer, you are not the boss. This is for you, all right? Employees, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now notice that God was so kind to define what he meant. He's not saying some invisible God, and we know that God is God, but some people say, well, my job is to obey God, not man. God is saying, listen here, if you are right with God, you will be right with authority, which includes your boss. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. You could put in your mind employers according to the flesh. You are to obey your boss as unto the Lord. You say, but you don't understand. My boss is a heathen. I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't matter. You are to obey them anyways. That this is what we're supposed to do. That Christians are supposed to be different from others. We are to be obedient, cheerful, and loyal. There should be something different about us. You say, but my boss is a snake. It shouldn't affect how you serve the Lord. You should still be glad that you're there. Joyful, cheerful. Your co-workers may say, how in the world can you be joyful in the cesspool that we work in? Because this is what God's given me to do. I'm in God's will. I get to serve the Lord by showing up to work and obeying my master. This is part of it. This is a commandment of God. This isn't a suggestion that we are to be different. You say, but you don't understand who my boss is. Well, if you don't mind, let's go back and take a journey in our minds to the book of Genesis. You don't have to turn there. And there's a young man by the name of Joseph. And Joseph had 11 brothers, actually 10 brothers at the time. 11 was too young, but he had 10 brothers that said, we hate this dreamer. Let's get rid of him. Let's sell him And so they sold him to some Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him to an Egyptian by the name of Potiphar. And here's Joseph, didn't do anything wrong, who's now working for Potiphar, who was not saved, who was not serving his God, didn't even give lip service to his God. And guess what? Joseph served Potiphar to the best of his ability. He obeyed Potiphar. He did everything he could. What to make things worse is that Potiphar's wife lied against him. And next thing you know, Joseph ended up in prison. The Bible talks about in Psalms that the prison fetters, those are the handcuffs of those days, chafed and dug into his skin. But you know what? He still obeyed the jailer. And he was cheerful in the jail, even though he didn't do anything wrong. He had such a testimony that they actually put him in charge of the jail. You say, how? Because he had his eyes on the Lord. It doesn't matter. Your boss is not the jailer, right? You may feel like he is from time to time, but he's not the jailer. You understand that your testimony and your attitude is not dependent on what your boss is like. It's all dependent on the God that you're looking at. And as long as God is still good and God is still right, you can be a good employee. You can still have a cheerful attitude. You could still be loyal to the place that you're at. You could still be obedient to the master that you have. The Bible clearly says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Notice as it goes on, now he's not finished. He didn't just say obey. Notice how he wants you to obey: with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto the Christ. Here it says we're supposed to serve him with fear and trembling. You know, this idea is subservience. Subservience is yieldedness to Christ. If a worker is not showing wholehearted respect to his employer, he is disobeying the Lord. You understand that it doesn't matter who your boss is, you should always respect your boss. Now, that means you don't talk bad about your boss in front of him or behind him. That means you don't say, well, my other boss did it this way. That is disrespectful. Absolutely disrespectful. And that's not disrespectful to your employer. That's disrespectful to God. You understand, this is all depending on your relationship towards the Lord. You should not roll your eyes. Now, I'm being practical. I'm taking it, make a practicality. You shouldn't make jokes. I remember, once I was sitting in a meeting with a pastor and his workers. And I was sitting in the meeting. And I heard the pastor tell one of the people on the staff, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. And I want you to get it done. And it was very specific. The employee walked out as we're all walking out of the meeting. I heard the employee said, there's no way I'm going to do that. He's not going to make me do it. I don't care. That was to a pastor. You understand? That's disrespect. That's disloyalty. That shows their eyes aren't on the Lord. That's a problem. You know, there's something in our country was founded on called a Protestant work ethic. And there was something powerful about that Protestant work ethic. It made the country what it is today because people obeyed the Bible back then and they read the Bible and they said that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. The Bible says stuff like, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. You see, people back then believed the Bible, and they had in their mind, you know what? We should work, and not just work, but work hard. The Protestant work ethic said this, that if a man works hard and works as he should, he will find success. Now, it doesn't say that you're going to become rich and famous, but it says you will be successful. There's something about work. Even going back in history, that towards the end of the Civil War, when the black folks were freed from slavery, there were two schools of thought from the black folks. One of them was Frederick Douglass, who says, we need to rebel, we need to protest, we need to do everything it is to win our rights back. Another school of thought was Booker T. Washington, who was a great scientist and actually founded the Tuscany place where they had black airmen flying. And just a great testimony, he said this, that if the black man wants to find his way and earn his way in society, he will do it by working hard, and he will be blessed of God and earn the respect from those around them. Why, Frederick Douglass says, we need to fight for it, and we need to punch him in the face until we get our respect. See the two different schools of thought? One of them was based off the Bible, Booker T. Washington, that says, if you work hard, you will receive success. There's something about the Bible and talking about work and how we work and the work ethic that we have. When I speak to employers today, I love to talk to people who run businesses and learn from them and ask them. And when I talk to them today, they say, what we're looking for today is employees who actually work. We have plenty of employees who show up and stand by the water cooler all day and, you know, out of 8 hours, they could get 1 hour of work at them probably. But they said, we miss people who are able to work. Able to work. Well, the Bible says that if we're a Christian and we say that we follow the Lord, there should be something different in how we work. How we respond to the boss. How we treat the boss. How we respond to authority. That servants be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. You understand, this is an idea of respect, that you are the boss. We live in a very disrespectful age, and we spoke about that earlier. You understand that how we address authority shows our respect towards them. For example, what you may think about the current president or the previous president, they were still the president. We should never address them without saying President Obama, President Trump. It doesn't matter what you may think of their character or their policies. They still have that position, and that we should show them respect. I believe personally, this is again my personal thing, that with a police officer, that we should never use the slang term cops. We should always show them utmost respect and use the term police officer, because it shows them respect. And when we show them respect, we're more inclined to be obedient to the laws that they have and be obedient and show them the respect. You understand, this comes from looking at the Lord. You say, where is this Protestant work ethic gone? Well, people got their eyes off of the Lord, and we've lost our ability to work. We've lost our ability to respond to authority. We all get mad and huffy and whatever else instead of doing what God has given us to do. Notice in verse number 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. That word singleness carries the idea of a wholehearted dedication. You understand that if the boss says, guess what? You get to clean the toilet. You know how most people respond? Man, you get the people, I'm not going to do it. That's not me. But the idea of singleness of your heart is a wholehearted dedication. I am going to do the best I can because this is what's been given to me. You know, that goes against everything that society teaches us today. But you understand, society is not looking towards the Lord. If we have our eyes to the Lord, everything that we're given to do by authority should be done with a singleness of heart. A singleness of your heart as unto Christ. You understand that your employer asks you to clean the toilet, you are doing it as unto the Lord. I am cleaning the toilet the best I can because I want to please my master. That's what happens when you have your eyes on the Lord. And the reason why even Christians today are such pathetic workers is because their eyes are not on the Lord. That's just one verse. Let's continue to go on and see what the rest of them say. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. Notice this, not with eye service as men pleasers. This carries the idea here that there are some people who will try to do what's right as long as the boss is looking at them. And as soon as the boss looks around, they want to joke and play and do everything else. By the way, when we're speaking of this, we're also speaking to the idea of children. You know you got a full-time job, kids? Guess what it is? School. And guess who your employer is during that school day? Your teacher. And when they give you an assignment, guess what the perfect will of God for you is that day? That assignment. And you're to do that assignment with a singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not as men pleasers. That means even if the teacher never checks your work or the parents never check your work, you have enough character and integrity that you're going to do the best you can because you're trying to please him. You see, it all goes back to looking at him. He's the one I'm pleasing, not my boss, him. Now, as I'm pleasing him, I will please my boss. As I'm pleasing him, I will please my teachers. As I'm pleasing him, I will please my parents. As I'm pleasing him, I will please the pastor. You understand that authority is all derived from the Lord. And we will keep our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on him. You understand, this is the practicality that as we're looking towards him, we're going to be advancing forward and doing the best we can with what God has given us to do. Notice, as we go to this idea, we're talking about the human claims dealing with our bosses. Let's bring it up to God now, into verse 6 again. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You understand, all of our service is all to God. That when the boss has given me to clean toilets, this is what God has given me in his good and perfect and acceptable will. When the teacher has given me homework, this is what God has given me in the good and perfect and acceptable will. When the parents give you to clean your room, guess what God's good and perfect and acceptable will for you. When your pastor asks you to do something, guess what God's good and perfect and acceptable will. And just to be very simplistic, that when we face that choice of what employer has given us, teachers given us, parents have given us, boss has given us, our choice is to obey or disobey. There's no gray area. Well, the reason why I didn't obey the boss is because I didn't have time. Did you obey or disobey? You disobeyed. Well, the reason why I didn't obey the pastor is because I didn't want to. Did you obey? Did you disobey? Well, the reason why I didn't do this is because my favorite show was on. Did you obey? Did you disobey? You understand, it all comes to the idea of God and dealing with God. Everything is very simple. We make things complicated, but it's all about him. It's all about looking towards him. Now, I understand it's quiet because this is hard stuff to hear. But you understand, this is what the Bible says. This is the practicality. You want to see if you are keeping your eyes on the Lord. See how you do at work tomorrow. See how well you do when you get home and have to deal with these things. You understand that we have to constantly keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Notice, if you don't mind, that it's doing the will of God from the heart. You understand, you're not doing it because you have to. I'm doing it because I want to please him. I want to please him. I want to please him. You understand that when you work your secular job, you are just as much in God's will working at Walmart, working at the hotel, working as a mechanic, working at an administrative, as I am being the pastor of this church. You are in God's good, perfect will. And you should do God's will like you expect the pastor to do God's will. You understand, we all have God's will in our life. And we're carrying it out. This is what God has given us to do. This is the will of God. Notice with me in verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You understand, you might not receive our rewards now, but God will take care of it one day. We are going to stand before and give an account for how well we obeyed the master as unto God. And guess what? God is keeping track, and there's much rewards for obeying that authority. The Bible speaks quite a bit about that. You understand that right now here on earth, this is our job application for what we're going to do in the Millennium Kingdom. This is our proof. This is our interview of what we're going to be trusted with on the other side of the Millennium Kingdom. You understand that what we do now, how well we obey now, is what we're going to be entrusted with in the millennium kingdom. There's going to be some Christians, they're saved, praise the Lord, they went. But they're going to be street sweepers because that's what they were trusted with. That's what their job interview turned out to be. They couldn't be trusted with anything else. For 1,000 years, you're going to be a street sweeper. Praise the Lord that you're up in heaven in the millennium kingdom. But I want a gun for a little bit better than street sweeper. How about you? It's dependent on your obedience towards the Lord, doing it unto him, obeying the authority God has given to you. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the practicality. You are practicing for 1,000 years, reign of Christ. Notice as we go on, this is the heavenly plan. Now, we've talked about the servants and the masters. We would say it this way, the employees versus dealing with the employers. Now God flips it around, and not only does he deal with men and the masters, but he deals now with the masters and their men. The masters and their men. Now, someone may throw the objection, but my boss will slave drive me. He'll make me do whatever. He just, And that happens. I hear people cry about that. But you understand that God has also said, masters, employers, if you're saved, there's an expectation from you as well. Notice what some of these expectations dealing with the master is. Notice with me in verse number 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Now, what's the same things? Notice in verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing that any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. The Bible talks about that the employer is supposed to try to do good things for the employee, to try to take care of them, to try to encourage them, to thank them for doing well, to try to, you know, not so it's just one-sided, but an employer, if they're right with the Lord, should treat the employees a certain way, to try to encourage them to keep looking to the Lord, to reward them for the things that's going on. Notice this as it gets specific again, verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, meaning you don't have to go threaten them and abuse your power. Fear and force are often counterproductive because they breed resentment and rage. We're not trying to enrage the employees. And there's times that things need to be done and we have to say, no, do it now. But we don't have to say, listen here, I'm going to kill you if you don't. There's a proper way of doing things. For those of you who may have noticed how I deal with things, and say, I haven't even noticed. When I ask you to grab your songbook, what happens? Now, I want you to grab your songbook, and I could very easily say, all right, all you no good people, grab your songbooks, and we're going to sing. But normally, how do I do that? If you wouldn't mind, please take your songbook, and if you're physically able, please stand with me. You understand, I'm addressing it as a politeness. Now, that still has the same request. I still want you to grab your songbooks and stand with me. But I'm addressing it in such a way that it's a little bit more palatable. You know, there small things like that help out. I'm not breeding resentment. I can't believe the pastor's making me stand and bring the songbook. And that's not the goal here. Well, if you don't mind, please take your copy of the Word of God and open it to me to the book of Ephesians. You understand, there are certain ways that I could address things. It still means I want it done or else, you understand. You know, sometimes I get in trouble because I'm too polite. Sometimes I won't say, you do this now. Sometimes I'll say, you know, I think it would be a blessing if this was taken care of in front of someone, hoping that, you know, hey, I think he's talking to me. I think I'll go ahead and get it done. I know sometimes that gets me in trouble because it doesn't get done, but that's still a request that's actually in order wrapped pretty nicely. You understand that there is a proper way for an employer to work with people, the authority to work with people, to try to encourage the employee to keep their eyes on the Lord instead of saying, I got a good for nothing boss, and they get their eyes on the boss instead of the Lord. But even if your boss is no good, we're still supposed to do it as unto the Lord. Go on, verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven. You understand, everyone has authority to obey. You understand, the President of the United States one day will stand before God and give an account. Someone says, who's the boss of the church? Not me, it's the Lord. I'm just working for him. He's the boss. Everyone has someone they have to answer to. Everyone has authority to obey, every single one of us. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. You understand, God is not impressed with position. President Donald Trump can stand before the Lord and he doesn't get any special favors because he was the president. And you understand that I, standing before the Lord, I don't get any special treatment because I was pastor. We all have to stand before God, and God is not impressed with position. We're all sinners saved by grace, with the opportunity and the privilege and the commandment to obey the authority God has given to us. Now, you understand, this is where the rubber hits the road, because we live in a rebellious society. We live in a society that no one's going to tell me what to do. No man, no boss, no president, no cop, no whatever. And they go through the list. Don't we live in a rebellious society? Don't we have coworkers that you almost say, why did you show up? You do nothing every day and you get paid for it. You understand, our eyes aren't on those employees. Our eyes have to be on the Lord. But we all know people who do not do what they're supposed to do. Our eyes are supposed to be on the Lord, and then we obey the Lord. Now, I understand that different people have different abilities, different opportunities, different things. We're not asking you to do something you can't do. We're asking you to do what God has allowed you to do with his strength enabling you, with his ability enabling you. But every single one of us can do something. Every one of us can do something moving forward. Every one of us can keep our eyes on him and keep advancing forward. And one of the ways of practicality to see is our eyes on the Lord, or is it on the problems that people have, is by dealing with employees and employers, dealing with the idea of authority in our lives. How do we respond to authority is going to be your determination, your litmus test, your proof in the pudding. Is my eyes on the Lord, or am I on something else? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.